now, it's Gabe time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all of football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the easy bake oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's Gabe time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Happy Monday. Welcome in. March 27th, 2023, and you are listening to the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman Gabe Kuhn on Twitter at G_Kuhn71 alongside super producer Bennett Doyle, Big Bet Bennett on Twitter at Bennett Doyle. Bennett, how was your weekend? Good?
It was really good. Yeah.
Good to hear.
Had a great weekend.
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah. Can I say this? And yep. I know weather talk is always the worst off the top of a show, but damn, it feels great.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. I had a little crawfish boil at a friend's house this weekend. Got the crawfish going. Are you a crawfish guy?
Yep.
You like the mud bugs?
Of course.
Hell yeah.
This is that time of year.
Little shrimp boil too.
Got the trucks all around town.
I am that guy though when it comes to if your nose is not running heavily, like did you eat crawfish?
Yeah, they weren't done right. That's right.
Yeah, do you suck the head though? I've stayed away from that. Stayed away from that. Unless it's like super, super hot. It's gotta be very warm still. But sometimes when you let it sit out on that table, it gets a little cold. I don't suck the heads at that point. But yeah, it was a great weekend for me as well. Glad to hear for you. Now we have 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM ESPN. And yours truly. We'll talk about the Grizzlies here off the top, who clinch a playoff spot over the weekend. On Friday, they killed the Rockets and scored 151. And then last night, they end up getting over the top, 123-119 over the Hawks at the Hawks. They have won 3 of their last 4 on the road. It feels all relatively positive in the Grizzlies' world with Ja Morant back in the starting lineup. No more arguments about him coming off the bench. So there is that. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. We'll also talk about the NCAA tournament where the Final Four is set. And I think there's a lot of people surprised with who's there. First time in NCAA tournament history that the Final Four will not feature a 1, 2, or 3 seed. We have UConn as the highest-rated team as a 4 seed. We have 2 5 seeds, Miami and San Diego State. And then we have the team that knocked the Tigers out in the first round, the NCAA tournament. They get all the way through, and that would be FAU. FAU is the team in the East that comes out of the East region. And I know there's Tiger fans out there that are saying, should have been us. I'll break down how you should feel here in just a moment. And Jeff Calkins at 5 o'clock will probably do that as well. He wrote a column at the Daily Memphian and sort of talked about how you should feel as a Tiger fan with FAU making this deep run. He'll join at 5 o'clock. Again, Daily Memphian columnist and the Jeff Calkins Show from 9 to 11. 6 o'clock, DeMichael Cole will join to talk about the Grizzlies and what they've been doing lately. Obviously, he is the Grizzlies beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. We'll hop into the Blitz at around 6:30. David Tubek, who was committed to the Tigers as a power forward, 3-star recruit, according to 247, he is decommitted from Tiger basketball and that recruiting class. Penny has put together a freshman. He will not be on campus next year. We'll talk about that in the Blitz. We'll also get into NFL owners meetings. Bill Belichick spoke up. John Lynch has spoke up. A lot of things to get to there. Also, in college basketball, Rodney Terry finally gets the job. I guess they were waiting until the season was over completely, but he is finalizing a 5-year deal to be the coach at Texas. It looks like $3 million per year is what he will be paid. Also, on top of all that, Lamar Jackson shed some light on why it is everything with the Ravens has sort of come to a head. He went on Twitter today, which is, by the way, the timing of that. We'll talk about that in a second. The timing of that with NFL owners meetings going on right now. And I believe John Harbaugh was supposed to speak 12 minutes after he put out his tweet saying he has asked the Ravens for a trade, and he asked for it on March 2nd, so it's been ongoing for this long. But that was interesting timing. But he says he has asked for a trade from the Ravens. That's worth mentioning. Also, we'll get to small talk at the bottom of the second hour. But the Grizzlies, over the weekend, 2-0 weekend. They clinch a playoff spot on the way. They killed the Rockets. They scored 151. They beat the Hawks on the road, 123-119. 6 straight wins, 3 of 4 on the road. And there's no other place to start than Luke Kennard, Nuke Kennard. I know we're finding nicknames for him. The Jeff Calkins Show, him and Jeffrey were put out a poll today about what he should be named. I think Nuke is pretty damn good.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I would throw out there, I know different sports, DeAndre Hopkins is already Nuke.
But it's kind of a different meaning, right?
It's a little different, yeah.
And he's shooting three balls, right?
Like, I still like Nuke Kennard. It's great.
Nuke Kennard makes sense. And what he did versus the Rockets, Bennett, that was
dude,
ridiculous.
It was crazy. So,
it's unreal.
So I took my kid on Friday, and this is the first time actually going as a fan this season because I'm producing all the radio broadcasts for all the home games. So this was our first time going as fans this year. And it was like, I think after he was about five made threes into it, every time he caught the ball, the entire arena was like, shoot it! Shoot! Like it
he
was,
wasn't missing.
Yeah, it was awesome. And it we kind of talked about this last week. Like, we've, what's a nice way to put it? We've been void of three-point shooting in this market. We had Mike Miller for two stints, obviously a great all-time three-point shooter. But it's been few and far between. Like, we talked about how, Courtney Lee was,
right.
basically, being touted as, like, Reggie Miller here. Like, it was it was that bad. This guy, the thing, too, that that's really interesting about just him being here and that trade, and it kind of was just, it was a, the Grizzlies.
Under the radar.
Grizzlies went and got a shooter. Cool. Okay, how much will he contribute? Will he get to play? He didn't play there, and Ty Lue even, talked about it in a presser one time. Like, he didn't play there because he wasn't a good defender, right? Like, mm-hmm. he's not a good defender, and so that's why he had trouble getting on the floor with the Clippers. The thing is, man, the Grizzlies are such a good defensive team that it doesn't really matter. And he's held his own, at times.
It's
like,
fine.
I've not been watching the games and been like, my gosh, Luke Kennard just gets burned, every time on defense. I think because the Grizzlies are such a good defensive team that it just works out fine, and they're able to kind of hide that part of his game, right?
Yeah, there's no issues. And offensively, this team, in a lot of ways, Ja was injured for some time. You're not having Steven Adams getting you second-chance opportunities, all those offensive boards. They feel transformed to a certain extent. And we talked about Luke Kennard, and this is probably the best Grizzlies three-point shooting team we've ever seen, even before Luke Kennard went on this tear and what he's been able to do. But 10 for 11 from three for 30 points against the Rockets in that drubbing 151-114. And the team overall was 25 for 42 from three. Between him and Desmond Bane, this number is the wildest one, even outside of the 25 for 42. Between him and Desmond Bane, who are, they're both top five, top 10 shooters from the three-point line in the NBA. Between him, between Luke Kennard and Dez, they were 15 for 18 against the Rockets that night. And the Rockets are a bad defensive team, but damn, 15 for 18, good Lord. And if we look at Luke Kennard's last seven games where he's finally started to understand his role, he's playing more minutes, he's the first guy off the bench, that type of thing. He understands what's going on. He's been in double figures those last seven games. He's 31 for 51 from three, so that's 61%. And I look at that number, and you could say, okay, well, he's on a tear. But I do think, in the grand scheme of everything, Luke Kennard really is that type of shooter. Maybe not 61% over the span of seven games, but he is a 45%, 40% plus shooter consistently. And I don't know how much this type of number is going to fall off as they get later into the later stages of the season. But I do feel like this team, from an offensive perspective, feels transformed because of the addition of Luke Kennard and the shooting they have added. They have two guys that are genuinely, to the rest of the NBA, terrifying from the three-point line.
Yeah, it is really impressive to see, man. We're not used to it here, and so to have two just knock down three-point shooters on the same team is awesome as a Grizzlies team.
And, for all of the people that wanted a lot of different shoes to drop at the trade deadline, this is what I'd say. They're on a six-game win streak. They're 47-27. They've clinched that playoff spot. They just won the Southwest Division, the Grizzlies did. maybe not giving up all these assets and still having what they have right this second was the correct move long term. I think a lot of people said that then, but I certainly, you see it now. And you see like teams like the Mavs, who lost to the Hornets twice over the weekend with Kyrie, with Luka in the lineup.
Crazy.
Like, maybe blowing up everything to go get a win now superstar is not the way to go all the time. I mean, the Mavs are exhibit A this year, at least.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, listen, the Grizzlies, like, schedule wise, have definitely caught some,
yes,
some breaks as of late. There's no doubt about it. And with guys being out, but you're right. Like, they're, nothing's, after all that we've been through, you know, over the past couple months, they're still in second place in the West. Like, everything's good, and they're just, I mean, now they're just ramping up for the playoffs.
Yep.
Got the spot clinched, so they're going to have home court regardless, so it's a good time to be a Grizzlies fan.
And before we left for the weekend, we were talking about Jaren and his five straight games, 25-plus points, and obviously that didn't happen over the weekend. He had 18, I believe, against the Rockets, and everybody was out by the fourth quarter, so he couldn't really add to that. And he had 15 against the Hawks last night. But I look at him offensively still, and the aggression, you know, especially in that first half when John Collins was covering him, was still there. I mean, it was still there.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up with 15-8, 6-for-10 from the field, 5 blocks, 3 steals. And Jaren still, as much as he did not produce a 25-plus point game, offensively he still looks locked in, more locked in than I've ever seen him in a Grizzlies uniform, even though it was lower point totals. And obviously maybe that has to do with Ja being on the floor with Luke Kennard shooting the way he did against the Rockets. But Jaren is still, if he can play at this level and shoot, you know, a solid percentage, up above 50% from the field the rest of the way into the playoffs, man, this offensive transformation we're seeing from the Grizzlies can pay off massively.
Mm-hmm.
It can pay off massively. You have those two shooters. You have Ja Morant. You have Jaren Jackson providing you offense. I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot in the grand scheme of things, especially when – and we've talked about this on several occasions. Look around at the rest of the Western Conference. Just look at it. And I know there's some teams that people think will come along and that people think are scary, but I just don't, it just doesn't look like an overly scary Western Conference right now. The Suns are finally getting KD back. He's been on the shelf with an ankle injury. You don't know how much that's going to hurt him on the way back, the ramp-up process, if he's pushing it a little bit, if that ankle is going to linger. DeAndre Ayton just got back for them. They're dealing with injuries. And you also have CP3, who's always in the back of your mind in the playoffs, going to at least have some type of hindrance to himself. I guess the Kings are there, but seeing in the playoffs is believing with them. The Nuggets, yeah, I have the main question for me is, can they play enough defense in the playoffs? And that's fair. But also, they aren't exactly peaking right now. I mean, that 4-game losing streak, mm-hmm, we're not that far removed from it. The Mavs are dead in the water, even though they were a top 6 seed for some time this year. And they, you know, for a fair amount of the season, you thought, okay, that Mavs team really has this Grizzlies team's number. But, you know, all the changes they've made to that roster, they're not scary. In fact, they have fallen to 11th. They're outside of the play-in right now with those two losses to the Hornets over the weekend. And then, you know, then you have the Clippers and the Warriors, who are veteran teams. Clippers have never gotten where they've wanted to go, even with all the veterans in this deep roster they have. I'm not fully out on them, but, I mean, that's a thought process. And then the Warriors, their past is not equal to their present. So you see the Grizzlies right now, they're basically, I mean, considering what they've been able to do over these past 6 games, what they've been able to do over the stretch without Ja, this is the hottest team in the Western Conference, and we're getting to the later stages of the season. And that is an overly positive thing to have to transpire at this point in the year.
Yeah, and back to Jaren, another thing, too, is he's staying out of foul trouble. Like, he only had 3 last night, and that is just going to be so important when the playoffs roll around for him. Like, because we still don't know I guess we kind of got a little status update on Steven Adams from Taylor Jenkins, but, like, it still seems very much up in the air that Steven Adams.
It was kind of an update, non-update.
Yeah,
right?
It was kind of an update, non-update. Like, it seems like it's very much up in the air if he's going to be ready for the playoffs, Steven Adams. And so Jaron's going to have to play, you know, that five a lot. He's just going to, you know, you don't have Brandon Clark, which is another, I think that's another underrated,
yes,
because they've been playing so well. I just think when the playoffs roll around, we know how valuable Brandon Clark was in that Timberwolves series last year. You know, you right now would play them if the playoffs started tomorrow. So yeah, I mean, I think that, him staying out of foul trouble is super important because they're going to clearly need him down the stretch in these playoff games. But, yeah, man, you kind of look at these potential opponents like you mentioned, and, you know, I'd be a little nervous about facing the Lakers at full strength.
Right.
Like, you know, the Timberwolves look good. You know, they gave you a little bit of trouble last year in that first-round series. The Pelicans are in the mix, but – will they have Zion? I think that that's clearly the X factor for them. Like, if they don't have Zion for the playoffs, they don't scare me that much. And then the Thunder, they just don't have the experience in the playoffs. And so, yeah, I think that the Grizzlies are set up very well for the first round.
Yes. Timberwolves are going to be at least you have to think a little bit about them because of how much they gave the Grizzlies trouble last year.
And Karl Anthony Towns
is back and looking relatively good. He hit a three last night to give them that win. And he's had, since he's been back, I think he has two sort of game win.
Yeah.
He had a game-winning free throw and then a game-winning three. So, I mean, I guess they give you a little bit of pause, but you sort of understand what they are based on last year. And I do think the Grizzlies have some things that you know, could really pose them some issues. I mean, especially right now when we look at them in the three-point shooting, how much they can play from the perimeter right this second. Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns, I said this when the trade was made, it's hard for me to imagine in a playoff series another team not being able to attack that very hard.
Yeah,
it's two guys who on the perimeter have some struggles moving their feet. That's in the end of the day, if you try to get them into switches, if you run some pick and rolls with those guys as a defender. I mean, like, it becomes really tough for those guys to defensively hold their own. And I think that there's some issues there. Now, I guess the Lakers could give you a little bit of pause. They're a half game back of the Pelicans in that nine spot right now. Right now, if the season ended today, they could only play themselves into that eight spot.
Mm-hmm.
They could only play themselves into that eight spot. But even with them, LeBron made his return off the bench last night, and they lost to the Bulls by 10. They lost to the Bulls by 10. Now, again, I'm not trying to do the whole sunshine and rainbows thing for the Grizzlies, but what I am saying is that in the grand scheme of things, why the hell not? Why can't this team be one of the more scary teams in the Western Conference?
Yeah, I don't want anything to do with the Lakers in the first round.
Right.
Just because, not because I'm scared of the Lakers. I think the Grizzlies would beat them in the first round series. It's because you're going to have so many Lakers fans at the playoff games. I don't want that. I do not want anything to do with that.
If you have LeBron, AD, D'Angelo Russell, all those guys on the court at the same time.
Yeah.
A little scary. And then Malik Beasley off the bench is a Grizzlies killer.
We've never played him in the playoffs. It would just, I like the playoff environment at FedEx Forum has always been special. And I think it'll get diluted a little bit if it's the Lakers in the first round. I do. I'm just being honest.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that. I completely understand that. But the way the Grizzlies have played at home, as long as the home fans outnumber the road fans, I think it'll be all right for them from a FedEx Forum standpoint. Now, also tonight, if you were wanting to see MVP hopeful versus MVP hopeful, that's not going to happen. We had the Nuggets versus 76ers on NBA TV tonight at 8:30. And it looks like Joel Embiid's going to sit down. And he's the favorite at Caesars Sportsbook. I saw he's minus 225, so he's the favorite to win the MVP. Is he ducking smoke? Is he ducking smoke tonight, Bennett?
Nah, I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean,
his award to win? Is this his award to win? You think it's sort of set in stone, or do you think it's still sort of up in the air?
I think it's probably his award to win, and maybe there is a little strategy involved. I mean, listen, if you don't play,
you don't want to look bad.
Yeah, if you don't want Jokic to show you up, if you feel like you've got it locked up.
Well, and also the Nuggets are 31-6 at home, and it's a home game for them tonight.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. I heard Kendrick Perkins make an allusion to it, basically saying that Joel Embiid is ducking smoke because he doesn't want to get shown up with, you know, only a few games left in the regular season, and he's basically in the lead at most sports books.
I just think that it's not a meaningful game. It was probably the more
the more likely reasoning? Like between the 76ers and the Nuggets, like what? I mean, the Nuggets are trying to keep that one seed, obviously, but the 76ers are kind of locked into that three spot in the East pretty much for the most part. I mean, maybe Cleveland could catch them, but it's not. Yeah, I just think that the game's not as meaningful. That's probably one of the reasons he's not playing.
Yeah, but I do
get
think
the rest.
But isn't
yeah,
it,
get
it
fresh.
Doesn't it continually get brutal though as we go through the regular season with the NBA? And the NBA ultimately wants the regular season to be meaningful.
Yeah,
they really
no,
do.
It is a different
this
discussion
is a,
for
this,
sure.
This is a premier matchup. This
it
should
is.
Be a premier matchup, and
I
you're
agree.
Not going to get it. I mean, like, in the end of the day, you could say, okay, from a grand scheme of things heading into the playoffs, maybe this is not the most meaningful game, one in the East or one in the number one in the West, number three in the East. They wouldn't meet each other unless they made it into the NBA Finals together. And I don't think anybody's going to put the 76ers in that conversation right now. But at the same time, like, from a regular season watching standpoint, this should be a game that the NBA has circled as, like, okay, MVP hopefuls squaring up, bigs, centers, squaring up against each other. I mean, that's tough to take time after time after time.
Yeah, I mean, there's a video of him getting his calf iced up at the shoot-around for the Sixers, of Embiid getting, you know, his leg wrapped up. They played on Saturday, so it's not the second night of a back-to-back. No, I'm with you. Like, it's a problem. It is a problem for the league as far as these premier matches. We've seen it a lot with the Grizzlies this year where a star has been out. You know, like, we didn't get to see Luka Doncic at FedEx Forum this year. We've had other guys that haven't played. It is a problem for the league, but I just don't know how you address
you
it.
You can't.
Yeah, like, I mean, how do you change it?
I guess the idea is, and this has been tossed around, is, okay, if you're going to win accolades, you have to play a certain amount of games. But still, even with that, even if you set it at 65 or 70, whatever it is, you're still going
to
have
12
games
of
buffer.
Yeah,
right.
Of course.
12 to 17 games of buffer. So it wouldn't be that. I mean, I don't know how much that would change it. But it's tough. It's something that the league still needs to address long term.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you would do. Like, I guess that you could send, like, a stern memo, like, hey,
strongly worded,
you know,
email.
Like, a week ago, maybe the league could have sent the Nuggets and the 76ers a memo that was like, hey, we really want these two guys to play in this game. But, I mean,
what's that going to do?
How are you going to enforce it?
Now,
yeah.
I do think, too, for Joel Embiid, I mean, long-term going into the playoffs, 76ers, this is a relatively smart play. This is a relatively smart play to get some of those body blows off of his body because yeah. – We know every single year Joel Embiid has gotten into the playoffs and he always has something hindering him. Every single year.
Yeah.
Whether it's a pulled muscle or an orbital fracture. Didn't he have an orbital fracture, I think, a couple years ago in the playoffs?
Yeah, he, like, wore a mask. Yep.
He always has something. So I guess, you know, for the 76ers, a decent play. But for the NBA fans out there, it's not fun to see.
Right.
See Embiid be out of a game against Jokic when this has been the raging debate. This has been the raging debate. You don't get to see this that often. And you have two guys fighting for the MVP, and Embiid took over him in betting odds, like, what, 2 weeks ago? I mean, this would have been fun for the NBA fan, but hey, it is what it is. Yeah. It is what it is. Let's get to our first break of the day, though. And when we come back, we have some NCAA tournament to talk about. We'll talk about the Final Four. We'll talk about parity in college basketball, and I don't understand why everybody's so surprised that we have all this parity in college basketball, considering what we saw during the regular season. We'll discuss that when we return. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live sometimes from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Baby, I took a half and she took the whole thing. Slow down. Baby, we took a trip, now we on your block, and it's like a ghost town. Baby, where did these be at when they said they're going out? It's not it.
The tournament is heated up, and there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Gabe Kuhn here for FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat bet. First bet up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. That is $1,000, $1,000, $1,000. Just go to FanDuel.com/GabeK. Again, that's FanDuel.com/GABEK and sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the net. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss out on your shot at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/GabeKeg, and that's FanDuel.com/GABEK to sign up. Must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789. Now, the tournament has heated up, and it's been very, very interesting, to say the least. We had the Elite Eight matchups over the weekend. FAU versus Kansas State will start with. FAU gets over top and gets to their first Final Four. This has been unbelievable. This ride we have seen from them, I know, you know, we'll talk about it here in a second. How should Tiger fans feel about it? But in that game against Kansas State, with Malik Nowell playing as well as he did throughout the entire tournament, I mean, potentially could still be an MOP. But FAU out-rebounds Kansas State 44-22. Had 14 offensive boards. Vlad Golden was phenomenal the entire way. He was passing out of the post, doing a really good job in that regard. But this FAU team is tough as hell, and there's a reason that they're here. This is a team that had the most wins in Division I basketball this year, and it hasn't stopped. And I also thought after the game, I don't know if you saw this, Jerome Tang went into their locker room and said they're the toughest team that they've played all year, even though they went through that whole Big 12 slate. But FAU, this has been unbelievable to watch, and it's not a fluke. It doesn't feel fluky at all.
It's painful.
It is, of course.
So you see two different sides, right, of the Tiger fans' argument. So it's either you see half of the people saying, oh, I mean, this is – I'm glad they got there because, it just shows that, like, they were – it wasn't a fluke that they beat us. They were actually just a really good team. And then the other side is that could be us. Now, the problem with that, and I heard Jeff say this morning, and it's true, is – you can't say that could be us because they actually had to do it and get to the Final Four, right? Like, it's you can't just argue as a Memphis fan, we would have beat Tennessee, we would have beat Kansas State, we would have beat, you know, whoever. So I don't buy that. But it is still, my opinion is, it does feel more painful seeing them in the Final Four because not saying that should be us, but more along the lines of, man, we could be there.
True. And I'm here to say
there was a path. There was a path. Yes.
I'm here to say it this way, and I agree with it. It's basically going to sound like a little bit redundant, but yes, you can't just say it should have been us as Tiger fans. You can't just say that.
Right.
Because you would still have to go win those games over Fairleigh Dickinson, which I think was very likely. Then you'd have to beat Tennessee and Kansas State. But I don't know. With the way everything broke, I think it's more than fair to feel that way.
The way that it shook out, no one in your bracket would have scared you the way that played out.
FAU needed a buzzer beater to beat the Tigers. They didn't need a buzzer beater any other step of the tournament.
Right.
They handled Tennessee really well. Obviously, it was a close game with Kansas State, but a 3-point win nonetheless. Like, the Tigers played the closest game with this FAU team the entire tournament. I don't blame Tiger fans for feeling that way. But, yes, I think it's a huge oversimplification to say, okay, it should have been us. It could have been us. Because the Tigers would have had to ultimately go beat a 4-seed and a 3-seed in the East.
Right.
And that's tough to do. That is damn tough.
But, no, credit to them. I mean, as far as, like, you know, I do think that there is something, too, because we have no idea what this FAU team's going to look like next season coming into the AAC. You would assume that the coach is going to be gone.
It depends, but here's the thing about that is what jobs out there, and I guess he's sort of like he could go anywhere, Dusty May. He's been a lot of places.
Yeah.
But what's open right now for him to go take advantage of?
And on the positive side, if you want to look at it a different way, then the way you would look at it is, they got a younger team. Like, they don't have a bunch of upperclassmen on that team. It's mainly, like, I think sophomores and juniors on that team right now. And you're going into a better league on paper from Conference USA to the AAC. You know, who's to say this FAU team doesn't just all say, let's run it back? Like, we just got to the Final Four. You know, we could run this thing back and win a national championship next year if they don't get it done this year, you know? So I would hope that that's what happens because, frankly, and it's
pains me to say it, we need it. We need them next season.
Yes.
Memphis needs all them. Yes, we need them to this version of FAU to come into the AAC next season.
And you need the same version of UAB, and you need the same version of North Texas.
That's
you need
right.
all those. I mean, losing Houston, who was the number one team in the country down the stretch of the season, that's huge. They're going to need as many quad one opportunities, and FAU, UAB, and North Texas provide those.
Yeah, absolutely.
Generally speaking, at least over the last 2 to 3 years. And I mean, what FAU has done, considering where their history sort of lies, they did not have a men's basketball program until 1988. Historically, they haven't had a history in men's basketball. And Dusty May, I think eventually he'll leave. I mean, there's no question about that. But wherever he goes, this is etched in stone. Him as a coach, his legacy is cemented.
Yeah, and man, the thing that it also reminds me of, like with college basketball, is just getting to a Final Four is awesome, right?
Yes.
Like, it's something to celebrate. Like, as a Memphis fan, like, it bums me out that we have not won a championship and that it slipped through, our fingers in 2008. But, like, being able to say that you're a Final Four team is a big deal. And you look at these schools involved in the celebrations and how happy they were after those games. It's cool.
You look at the teams that have not been to a Final Four in Tennessee.
That's right.
There's a lot of really good basketball schools that have never gotten to that damn level. So it's something to be proud of, no question.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of teams that have never been to a Final Four, 3 of 4 of these teams that are in the Final Four have never been to one. 3 of 4 of these teams have never won a natty, obviously, because of that. And San Diego State, I can't believe we're here. Alabama had that golden damn path laid for them, and San Diego
Crazy.
State gets over top of them. San Diego State yesterday gets over top of Creighton, who had been playing so well. But San Diego State's just tough. They've been allowing the entire year 57 points per game. They'll grind you out. What did you think?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give my opinion. What did you think of the late foul from Ryan Nembhard on Darian Trammell that ultimately got Darian Trammell to the line? He splits the pair, and then they win 57-56.
I think if he wouldn't have fallen down, that there's a good chance that it wasn't called. It was so egregious that you have to call it.
It was.
You saw it in the replay, the forearm is in the back, and plus the guy falls to the ground. Like, I mean, he was pushed down. I just feel like you got to make that call.
I am very much in a lot of situations, you don't call that there.
Right.
I'm very much that guy. But Ryan Nembhard had his hand directly on Darian Trammell's hip and pushed him.
Yeah, it was just so
while
obvious.
While he was in the air. And, like, maybe he thought he could get away with a little more shoving, a little more hand-checking, but that went past hand-checking. He shoved him directly to the ground, and it was a foul.
Yeah.
And, I hate that it gets called in that moment with Creighton and how good they had been through with Creighton and how well they had played during the tournament. But Ryan Nembhard fouled Darian Trammell
at
the end of that game. And I know there's a lot of people in the social media sphere going after referees and how refereeing so bad, and I agree from a general sense, but in that particular situation, I don't think that encompasses refereeing on a large scale. I think that was the right call.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, listen, if it wouldn't have gotten called, you would have had San Diego State screaming, "We got screwed." Just go look at the replay. We got screwed. There was a foul. It wasn't called. You got to officiate the game at all times of the game, right?
Yep.
I didn't have a problem with it.
Yeah, but that San Diego State team, I did not have high hopes for them coming into this tournament, and they have somehow made it out in a region that featured Alabama. And we thought Alabama was just going to roll into the Final Four, into the national championship, and that doesn't happen. Ultimately, Brandon Miller is going to be off to the NBA. Nate Oates is going to have to rebuild that roster. But again, it always comes back to, for me, when it comes to Nate Oates, and I think Nate Oates is a very good basketball coach. I really do believe that. But when the threes aren't damn falling for him,
mm-hmm.
what's the counter? What do you do? I mean, seriously, 3 for 27, they kept putting them up in that game against San Diego State. It just wasn't happening for them. And there was no thought to really change what they were doing offensively. And that's how you see, that's every single year it feels like that's how Alabama gets knocked out of the tournament. is because they have this thought process about we want threes and layups, and when another team defensively closes out, does a good job on the perimeter, they can't really get over it. And I thought this was the golden opportunity for Alabama, and we'll see what Nate Oates will do in the transfer portal and on the recruiting front. I think he'll do plenty well for himself. But this team was very well put together, in my opinion. Brandon Miller, fantastic. Noah Gurley, you have these freshmen that are great. And you also have Javon Quinterly still there, Mark Sears still there, older guys that could bring them along. Obviously, there were some things during the year that didn't shake out their way, and there was a lot of nastiness with the Brandon Miller situation, with the Darius Miles situation. But this was a golden opportunity for Alabama, and it's down the drain now. It's down the drain.
Yeah, for sure. As far as like the Final Four goes, like I mean, how's anybody beating UConn?
I don't know, man.
I mean, they just ran through their region. Like, yeah, it was nothing.
Yeah, I do think.
Cakewalk.
I mean, and everybody talked about Adama Sanogo, but Jordan Hawkins needs his flowers. I don't see why that wouldn't be a first-round pick in the NBA. He's fantastic. Had 20 in that game against Gonzaga. And what they did to Gonzaga was downright malicious. They absolutely smacked them.
Slaughtered them, yeah.
Smacked them from tip to buzzer. 82-54. And just limited everything that Gonzaga could do. Defensively, they're great. Offensively, they have the juice. And they have, I mean, you bring a Donovan Klingon off the bench to back up Adama Sanogo. Like, it's hard for me to imagine a team beating them, but we have three other teams of destiny right now that have made their first Final Four that are hungry as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm rooting for FAU at this point.
Yeah. Drew Timmy's career is over, by the way.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's over.
Did he say, yeah?
Well, I mean, it been 5 years or 4 years?
Listen, man, at this point,
4 years, but I think
he can find an extra year.
You think somewhere?
Yes, dude.
It's in the fine print.
Yeah,
squint your eyes a little bit.
If he
get the magnifying glass.
I have a feeling if Drew Timmy wants to be back at Gonzaga next season, he could probably find a way. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they'll find that eligibility.
At UConn, though, your point is well taken. 87-63 against Iona, 70-55 against St. Mary's, 88-65 against Arkansas, 82-54 against
Gonzaga. I mean, they just haven't played a close game. I mean, maybe that's what their downfall is they haven't played a competitive game.
A reason they haven't played a competitive game. They can shoot the three ball well. They can get inside. They can rebound. They can play defense. They do it all well.
Yeah.
They do it all well.
No, I think
they're the favorite at all the sports books for a reason.
That's right.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense. And this is a team that I feel like a lot of people gave up on them. What was it? Sort of the middle of conference play. They lost three straight games, and people were ready to give up on UConn. But our man, Hurley, crazy man, He's a crazy person, but he's figured it out. And then the final team, of course, Miami, gets over top of Texas. Jim Larrañaga, again, we talked about legacies being cemented, and I talked about Dusty May. Jim Larrañaga's already had a cemented legacy, but now it's a Final Four with George Mason, their first ever, in Miami, in their first ever.
I guess they said yesterday was the anniversary of George Mason punching their ticket to the Final Four.
How many years ago would that have been?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, 15, George Mason, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah.
We'd have to look that up, but I think the anniversary.
Was it 2011?
Not quite. Not quite 20 years. It's not quite 20 years, I wouldn't think, right? Well, it's 2023. It might. when did George Mason?
No, it was 2006.
Okay.
Yeah, good. And gosh, it was before the Tigers title run.
Jim Larrañaga, I mean, to think about how old he is at this point, and he's still getting it done. And obviously, he's in a good spot. He's in a good spot to be able to give out the NIL money, get a lot of guys on campus. But, I mean, they have so many guards. They have so many guards and so many opportunities to go score. Isaiah Wong, Nigel Pack, Jordan Miller. Jordan Miller had 27 against Texas. He didn't miss a shot either. I mean, he didn't see a single shot fall out. I mean, it was 7-for-7 from the field, Jordan Miller, 13-for-13 from the free throw line. So that was phenomenal. And they had to come back. They had to come back on Texas to be able to figure that one out. 151-36 in that second half. But a couple of interesting stats to mention on the Final Four. I've already mentioned first time in NCAA tournament history that the Final Four will not feature a 1, 2, or 3 seed. So this is historical in that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time in the Final Four that there's not a single McDonald's All-American. And that's been since The NCAA tournament began seeding teams in 79. FAU didn't start their men's basketball program until 88. Miami brought back its program in 1985 after 14 years without one. But here's the thing that I have sort of noticed from a lot of people talking about, well, the best teams aren't there. You know, the tournament doesn't necessarily help out the best teams in the country. I think that is completely face the wrong direction. There are four teams. All four of these teams were top 25 in KenPom, so they were really good offensively and defensively. UConn was number one in KenPom basically the entire year. FAU had the most wins in the NCAA. And, like, it shows the parity we had in college basketball all year. I mean, I don't know why people are surprised at this moment when it was not but a month or two ago when we talked about, you know, number one teams in the AP poll getting beat week by week. We set a record this year for AP number one teams getting beat. So it really, this Final Four is a good example of where we were all year in college basketball. There's a lot of teams out there that had the capability of winning it. Did we think it was going to be FAU and San Diego State in the Final Four? No, but those are good enough teams to get there, and they showed their ability to get there through this tournament. I just think overall we need to stop being surprised. We shouldn't be surprised by where we are with the Final Four this year, considering where college basketball was the entire year. But we'll see what happens. We're going to have two matchups, obviously, and they should be relatively good ones. FAU is going to face off against San Diego State, so one of those two teams is going to be in the national championship. I hope that sinks into some people. That is pretty historical. And also Miami versus UConn, which I think, you know, UConn has ran through. They ran through their region relatively easily, but Miami, offensively, who knows? If they knock down shots, they can certainly keep up. But it's going to be about them defensively trying to bother UConn, which has not happened to this point in the tournament. Now let's go ahead and get to a break. We'll be right back on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
92.9 FM ESPN is Memphis's sports station on the free Odyssey app. Download it now on your phone. Smart speakers say play 92.9 ESPN.
Come celebrate the savings with Goss at Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Fiat on the Pike. It's Ram Truck Month and the Jeep Celebration event, so we're ready to rock. 2022 Jeep Renegade, $5,000 off. 2022 Dodge Charger, $6,000 off. And 2023 Grand Cherokee El Dorado with third row seating, $7,000 off. Plus 2022 Fiat 500X, $4,000 off. Gossett Chrysler G Dodge Ram Fiat on the Pike says you won't find a better deal anywhere else. And if we don't have it, Gossett will order it today. So drive past the rest and come to the best at Gossett on the Pike or shop online at GossettMotorcars.net.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motorcars.
Fiat 500X, NP98268, MSRP 30,950, Renegade, NPN95921, MSRP 32130, Charger number NH261941, MSRP 35630, Cherokee P879-4494, MSRP 46765. Includes all rebates and incentives, excludes tax final license with approved credit. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through 3/31/23. Dealer stock only.
QC Kinetics, we have story after story of patients freed from agonizing pain through amazing regenerative treatments. But this one, well, it's extra special.
My father, who is 70 years old, had both of his knees worn out. He went to an orthopedic surgeon who said, you need both of your knees operated on. We can book you for next week.
But Dr. Daniel Zuckerman, a QC Kinetics medical director, knew he had other options.
I had him come to QC Kinetics. We treated both of his knees using our protocols with regenerative medicine. Within a few months, he was back to walking. A few months later, he was at the gym exercising 3 times a week. He can keep up with our 3.5-year-old little girl.
No surgery, no complicated rehab or downtime.
It's completely life-changing for him.
You have options too. Before they whisk you away to surgery, slow down. Call QC Kinetics now for your free consultation.
Call QC Kinetics, 901-445-1010. That's 901-445-1010. 901-445-1010.
When you grill with Kingsford charcoal and add Kingsford garlic, onion, and paprika flavor boosters, your special occasion becomes unforgettable.
Wow.
Made with 100% real spices, Kingsford garlic, onion, and paprika flavor boosters can be added to any pre-lit charcoal to add a whole new rich, full-bodied flavor and aroma to your spring grilling. Mmm, so good. Look for Kingsford Charcoal and Kingsford Garlic Onion and Paprika Flavor Boosters for a mouth-watering flavor experience. Kingsford.com.
Hey, guys. This is Kenan Thompson. I have a problem with you. Yes, you.
None of y'all told me that Auto Trader has millions of new and used cars that I can shop from home. I thought we were friends. I put smiles on your face, but I'm not smiling. No one told me that with Auto Trader, a dealer can deliver cars to my home or that I could shop by price on Auto Trader. No one. Consider this friendship that you just learned we had officially over. Finally, it's easy. Auto Trader.
This is Gary Parrish, and you've heard me talk about Dr. Mehdi Sadeghi and his staff for years now. They run the Smile Center. It's where my whole family goes. We're fortunate. Our insurance covers it. But Dr. Mehdi understands not everybody is fortunate enough to have dental insurance, and that's why he's created the membership plan at the Smile Center. It's an in-office insurance plan for patients who do not have dental insurance. So if you fall under that umbrella, please get in touch with the Smile Center. Dr. Mehdi and his entire staff have been vaccinated, so it's a safe environment. The address is 1941 South Germantown Road in Germantown near Saddle Creek, 901-309-1333. Online, Smile Center. Memphis.com.
Calling all the Mid-South. Bobby J is waiting for your call today to drive off in your new Kia from Gossett Kia on the Pike. 2023 Kia Soul LX 333 a month, $27.99 due at signing. Or 2023 Kia K5 LXS 362 a month, $31.99 due at signing. And 2023 Kia Sportage LX all-wheel drive 381 a month, $34.99 due at signing, all 36 month lease. And if you can't find what you're looking for, let Bobby J order a new ride for you today. Plus, Kia's best-in-class warranty, 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. Ask for Bobby J. He'll put you in a new Kia today. Gossett Kia, 1900 Covington Pike. Online, KiaCovingtonPike.com.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
All 650 acquisition fee, 30,000 miles, 20 cents excess mileage. Sold P7866988, MSRP 22945, K5 PG200 400, MSRP 26455, Sportage PG107225, MSRP 29790. Includes all rebates and incentives. Must finance through Hyundai. Excludes tax, title, and license with approved credit. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through 3/31/2023. Dealer stock only. Warranties limited powertrain warranty. See Kia.com or retailer for details.
You don't need to find a pot of gold to strike it rich this March. Instead, win money on your tournament wagers with Superbook Sports. Superbook features the best team of odds makers in the business, so they're the safe bet when it comes to sports gambling. They also have one of the most extensive betting menus around, so no matter what you want to wager on come tournament time, Superbook is sure to have it. Download the Superbook app and start winning today. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Some people don't do well under pressure. At Northern Tool and Equipment, we do it best. Whether you're spraying down the shop or getting the winter grime off your house, a Northern Tool pressure washer says you're serious about spring cleaning. From an all-electric power horse to a Honda-powered North Star, we'll help you build your perfect cold or hot water package with all the chemicals, attachments, and everything you need for the job ahead. Northern Tool and Equipment. We're made for this. Come see us in store or shop online at northerntool.com.
There's no better time to hit the court for some exciting college basketball action. Download the BetMGM app today and bet during the wildest month of the year with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 years or older. Must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. That's 1-800-889-9789.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Could you tell where my head was at when you found me? Me and you went to hell and back just to find peace.
It's the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN, and this is the time of year, with the NCAA tournament rolling along, where we have a lot of college basketball moving, not moving, guys announcing their intentions, coaching movement. Obviously, the big shoe that dropped today is Rodney Terry officially finalizes his deal with Texas. 5 years, $3 million per year. Press conference is going to be expected next week sometime. Not a surprise there. Good for Rodney Terry, who needed, you know, after all of the jobs he's held, one at UTEP. I mean, he's had some tough jobs in his career. This is one that finally feels like it's ready-made for him, but he's got to take advantage of it. We'll talk about it a little bit later on in the Blitz. Tyrese Proctor, who was massive, I think, in Duke's loss against Tennessee. He was the only guy who could really get his shot off and get moving against that Tennessee defense. He announced he will return to Duke for another season. Seems like a guy who offensively is inclined, will need another year of seasoning
with John Shire, but he could eventually be an NBA-type guy. Now, this is the big news of the day for me, especially when we talk about the Tigers and what they need to do in the transfer portal this offseason. Two massive guys hopped into the transfer portal today. One from North Carolina, Caleb Love, who is just a lifetime 16-point-per-game scorer in his 3 years with North Carolina, has hopped into the transfer portal. And the other one from Oregon, a former five-star, Kel'el Ware, 7 foot, 210 pounds, averaged 6 points per game, 4 rebounds per game for Oregon in his 1 year. He decided he's going to get in the transfer portal. But the point here for me is, especially on the heels of David Tubek decommitting from the University of Memphis, Ian Granhaug getting into the transfer portal, there's open scholarships for Penny, and there's so much to take advantage of on the transfer portal market. And I don't know if he's going to be involved in Caleb Love, if he's going to be involved in Kel'el Ware, although seems with Ware, there's definitely something there, considering North Little Rock, Arkansas is where he's from.
Oh, I mean,
maybe a return back to the area could be in order for him, and the Tigers are certainly in massive need of bigs, considering you don't know what's going to happen with Malco, Chandler, the whole nine yards. But there's so much opportunity, space and opportunity for Penny Hardaway and this coaching staff to take advantage of this transfer portal market. There's so many guys out there. They've been involved in Khalif Battle from Temple, averaging 18 points per game there. Nick Timberlake from Towson, they've hit him up, 18 points per game there. One of the best three-point shooters in the country. Taron Armstrong from California Baptist, 6'5", 185, and averaged 11 points per game last year for them. Amari Abram from Ole Miss, 6'3", 180, a point guard for them that averaged around 8 points per game, did really good in the preseason tournaments. Actually, in Orlando at the ESPN Events Invitational is when he sort of came on the scene for Ole Miss. But there is so much space and opportunity for Penny Hardaway. And after last year, you sort of have to feel good about his ability and this staff's ability to go make something happen.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I would be shocked if this team coming into next season doesn't have a lot of college basketball experience. It's going to be the case.
Yeah.
And then you mix in the stars like Mikey and hope that, you know, you got the star freshman that molds well with the upperclassmen.
I still think, you know, when we're talking about this team next year and what Mikey Williams, you want him to be, but he still is going to be very young by the time he gets on campus. I still think a older guard that can take ball handling duties away from Mikey Williams, especially early, is the way to go. And there's some guys they're already involved with that can do that in Taron Armstrong, Amari Abram, Khalif Battle. There are guys, and I mean, even Nick Timberlake can do something like that if they get involved with a guy like Caleb Love from North Carolina. I think that there's opportunities to go make that happen. I think that's something that over the course of Penny Hardaway's tenure, having Kendrick Davis last year to really set the table, you certainly hope that's something he's learned, is that having an experienced guy on ball, a natural point guard, is something that gets your team to that next level. We saw it last year, and hopefully we see it going forward.
Yeah.
Hopefully we do. Now, Caleb Love, though, leaving it's interesting, to say the least. I mean, you have R.J. Davis saying he's going to return, Armando Bacot saying he's going to return. I guess Caleb Love is incensed with how this year went. No more run it back for North Carolina if you're not going to have Caleb Love. You're going to have to find somebody else to replace that production.
God, I'm just sick for UNC, man.
Yeah, seriously.
They just, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. They don't win enough. They just don't win enough. They really so much don't. Pain.
Yeah.
Golly. I can't believe. They're just so put upon.
I think they'll be fine.
They're just so put upon, aren't they? I hear you. Now let's go ahead and get to a break. And Jeff Calkins on the other side is scheduled to join us right here on 92. 92-